Win £25,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win the jackpot. If it's not won, we'll roll it over to the following week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Thank you very much for joining us. It's another From the Horse's Mouth podcast, Fridays with Fran, as we title these, as myself and Fran Berry, but mainly Fran Berry, go through the action at Dundalk. Fran, how are you? Last week, hitting the crossbar, I think it's fair to say, on a few occasions. You were right with the each way ACCA in terms of the horses were filling the frame, just not quite getting it done.
Yeah, it was a hit miss weekend, wasn't it? We were knocking a door PK. Hard to believe we didn't get a winner out of the evening, but a lot of selections were placed. Unfortunately, one of our main selections, Malaysian, was fourth, which was fine for betting purposes. Unfortunately, though, her rider, Dylan Brown McMonagall, weighed in 3 pounds light. The lead bag was left off in the stable yard. And as a consequence, and you're always learning this game, it turns out that she's been disqualified, obviously, but placed last. I thought she was a non-runner. And there goes all my ACCAs. So it was a big swing in my betting balance on Friday night, unfortunately. And yeah, it was quite hard to take. Character building, I think you call it.
Ouch, ouch. Trained by Seymour, isn't it, Malaysian? You didn't happen to see the trainer there and have a word, did you?
No, I didn't. I don't know Charlie Moore at all. But look, these things can happen. Oh, it's the nature of the beast. And the nap of the weekend, St. Keenan's Fire, of course. Non-runner, I think. When he read the race post and seen he was drawn out in stall at 17, he went off his feed and he ran yesterday at Dundalk and he was a ready winner. So hopefully listeners might have twigged that he's running again, and he beat Jatay Port, of course, as we predicted last Friday, only 5 days later.
He's a clever horse, that horse. If he can read the racing post and withdraw himself and not eat his feed after that draw, that's St. Keenan's Fire.
It can happen quite a bit at Dundalk. Horses are very intelligent, and when they see they got a bad draw, they seem to go after dinner altogether. So yeah,
I didn't fancy the trip. It's not a long trip from John McCallum to Dundalk, but anyway, yeah, St. Keenan's Fire. I hope he kept the faith. Franz Knapp on Friday didn't run, of course, wins on the Wednesday the following ways. Lovely price too, as you said, 11-4. Now it's another busy weekend of racing. I'm hoping for a little bit better in terms of the jumps racing. The Pick 5 is back, $25,000, free shot at it, by the way. By the time this podcast is out, you can check the show notes and click on the link, and that'll bring you to the Paddy's Pick 5. 5 races on Saturday, and hopefully you can win it. It's a free shot at it, $25,000. It was won again last week. We're on a lovely winning run. Not Mrs. Berry yet again.
Did a walkover count?
Surely we didn't have that in it. I'd like to think we didn't have that in it last Saturday, but you never know. It's hard enough for them to pick competitive races right now, to compare to the lads of the marketing team. They've got to stick with their certain amount of races on a Saturday afternoon. And last Saturday, oh my word. We'll get to that. We'll get to Saturday. When it's not all doom and gloom in this podcast, it's about winners and a bit of crack. We've plenty to go through, including one of my Twitter followers or someone on Twitter. I'll name check him. Aaron was looking for a Christmas nap from you, Fran. So get thinking about that one. It was Aaron Jameson looking for a Christmas nap. But let's start with winners. That's what we're here for, Fran. And we're going to kick off with, as you would expect, the first race at Dundalk. It's the 5 o'clock. It's a claimer for 2-year-olds. Pub talk. There'll be plenty of that over the next month or so. No me, training. Dean is booked. He arrives here with a rating of 72, whilst Aidan McGuinness's Lisieux arrives with a rating of 71. I guess they are the starting point. It is a claimer, and rating 70, you've got a chance.
Yeah, and I'd wait until to have a bet in this race until after 11 o'clock on Friday morning, PK, because 4 of the runners in this race ran yesterday at Dundalk on Wednesday. Static Charge, Trident Star, Hilltop Spare and Regales. Now, I wouldn't be totally strong in any of them, but it might just change the market as regards each way betting and betting whatnot. But top of the market, Lizzo, trained by Aidan McGuinness, very good win off a lower mark and Nace 2 starts going. Actually ran quite well last time in the Birdcatcher Nursery up in class. Switching to Polytrack and up a following in Trip will be interesting, but I just think she's so effective on testing ground that it'll be hard to transfer that form, albeit in claim and company, to the all weather. And given she's in for 24,000 euros instead of 20 against Pub Talk, I have to go with Pub Talk. He was a very good winner under Colin Keane 2 starts ago at Down Royal, following up in some good efforts. I think the step up to 7 furlongs has really suited him good. And you can forgive him his last run on the Polytrack here at Dundalk. He found himself very wide in a small runner field, three wide all the way without cover and down the middle of the track in his own. Wasn't beaten too far in what was a very competitive nursery. And I think he can definitely upgrade that run. Dropping into Claim and Company, Colin Keane is back on board. He's got a good draw in stall five. Very hard to see beyond him in this race.
Pub talk it is. Speaking of pub talk, there was a rake of jockeys in Prague last week. I'm just looking at the list. I think they've all returned. I think they have.
Nobody was lost. I think everybody was returned safe and sound Sunday evening or Monday morning from what I can gather yesterday in Dundalk. And good weekend was had by all, yeah.
Was that Dusty Stag? No,
it was Gary Carroll's stag, yeah. And Chris Hayes is back riding tomorrow, of course. He got married last weekend. So it's all going to jockeys wearing at the minute, yeah.
Tell you, no holiday for them. Anyway, they're both riding as well after a busy weekend. Well, is Gary Carroll? I haven't seen Gary Carroll yet. Maybe he's still recovering. I don't know. After Stag. Can't take a while. We're going to talk about the second race and then we're going to stuck into the National Hunt world and see if Frank and Fick what's happening across the water. We've got a Filly's Maiden due off at 5:30 and it's a 6 furlong one. It's for 2-year-olds. Plenty of form for a maiden, as you probably would expect this time of year. Maggie McGrath might be the one to start with, Kieran Cotter and Ronan Whelan. Kieran Cotter, we know, can do really well with his maidens up here at the track. She's had a few goals. She hasn't won yet, though, but this is a good chance.
It is, and stepping up in triple suit Maggie McGrath very well. She had run well 2 starts ago on this track as well in what looked a good maiden, won by Congo River. And last time was a good second as well at Cork. Definitely stepping up in trip and running around a bend will suit Maggie McGrath well. Smullen's Pride, whom we put up a couple of weeks ago when she ran really well to be second, ran into what was probably a smart horse in the winner, Star Spangled Ways. And again, stepping up a 4 long and trip should suit her very well. And Geraldine's filly down the bottom, number 13, Valkyrian, showed good promise 2 starts ago at Leopardstown. Maybe went off far too quick for her own good at this track over 7 furlongs last time, but faded quite tamely when all is said and done, and it's drawn on stall 16. Each of the three then probably have a race of this standard in them on their best days, but I'm going to take a little bit of a punt and go elsewhere. I'm going to go with a debutant. It'll be a debutant in the form book. It's Joseph Ryan trained Espresso Velocidad, whom trialled very well at this track back in July, PK. Showed a lot of promise on that occasion to be second in a trial. It's worked out very well. If you just bear with me while I get my notes. She's by Exceeding Excel, and Queen Maeve was an easy enough winner at the trial. She went on to win really well at this track a couple of weeks ago. I think we might have put her up. Chiquetto, the third in that trial, has run really well in the Curra Maiden subsequent to that. And the fourth, Mount King, in that trial was second at the Curra, running a good race as well. That was his best run. So on a line through Espresso Velocidad finishing second in that trial. Now you're taking a little bit of a risk in that we haven't seen her since that trial in July, but given the way Joseph's maidens in recent weeks have been performing at Dundalk, I think she'll be well tuned up to go. I know she's drawn on stall 13, but she could be value against some exposed enough rivals, if you like.
Fair enough. I'd say you were crap at cheating in exams, Fran, because I just saw you scrambling to get those notes together. It wasn't the greatest effort. That's some amount of notes. I know we've talked about this before. Those highlighters are hard at work.
Yeah, I'm not doing my best for the environment between printouts and and highlighter use. There's a couple of big boxes of them there, yeah. So I mightn't even look at them on a race day, but once I've written them down, it kind of sticks in my head better than looking at a screen.
Well, this is handy for you because you're basically learning it by saying it out loud again as well. So, I mean, you're using this podcast as like a little trial. It's great.
Repetition and just remember which horse you tipped and it's okay then, yeah.
And then just react accordingly to Kevin O'Brien. Ramblings on racing.
Can be difficult at times.
I bet. Let's talk horse racing news. Last weekend was, how do I put my positive hat on this? If anyone follows me on Twitter, I haven't been very positive about horse racing over the last weekend. It was a bit of a disappointing, shall we say. Myself, Rory and Ruby went through what was going to be a great weekend of racing, and near enough every horse we talked about was taken out. Ram, I asked you beforehand to come up with a solution for the National Hunt world. The floor is yours.
Very simple. Tracks are going to have to condition during the summer months to prepare for dry autumns. If this did trend, it's oncoming. If you look at Ascot and Newbury, for example, during the summer months under flat meetings, look at the jump track inside. It's like a burnt field, which is fine in normal times. You know, you get decent autumn ground into winter. But if you're going to hold autumn fixtures over jumps into early winter, I think they're going to have a watering program to condition the turf and get that moisture and keep that moisture into the ground. It just can't get as quick as it's been allowed to get, which in normal circumstances is perfectly fine. Ascot, you have to remember too, on Constitution Hill, a month ago, British Champions Day, they were thinking of switching to the Jones track because it was proper good flat ground. So that's how good it was. And we've had a dry enough time since then. On the Monday before Constitution Hill's race, it was good to firm ground for jumpers. They got the rain Tuesday and Wednesday, but then a couple of dry days, it went back the other way. And that's a very simple solution, I think. And if you look at the example, Leopardstown Christmas Dublin Racing Festival, they got caught out a couple of years with mass withdrawals, and they've had to adapt to changing circumstances. And, you know, they do a watering program all the way up to Christmas and Dublin Racing Festival on the chase track. So that's what they need to do. It's going to cost money, but if you want to have runners, that's the solution in my mind. And, you know, there's one other aspect too with the UK style of things. The clerk of the course is employed directly by the racetrack.
Yeah.
In Ireland, they work for the Turf Club, which is some independence, if you like, of a privately owned racetrack. It's a bad system. There's a couple of very good clerks of the course in England who are excellent at what to do, but there's a lot of moderate ones and are biased to what their own agenda is, if you like. So, and I say Ascot clerk called it wrong last week. Listen to Johnny Burke on Nick Luck's podcast during the week. He said it was genuine good jumping ground, which is too quick for winter horses, fair enough. But I think the system over there needs changes, but they definitely need to adapt to changing times, if you like, and condition the track from a long way out to, if it goes too soft and rains in the week, what about it? You'll still have runners, I think.
Yeah. That it's a tough one. We actually, when we were, myself, Ruby and Frank Kicker, doing our national season preview, was the guts of a month ago now, I think, when we were at Leopardstown, we were watching the John Deere tractors go along the irrigating the ground on the chase track already. So they are getting ready.
Exactly. And you see Navin a couple of weeks ago, it's not just a UK problem. Flame Bear and Sir Gerard was withdrawn in the day, you know, rightly so. Just again, Navin outer track, chase track, didn't get any water through the winter months, not normal times, you know. So that's what you're dealing with. The way it played out in the day was very disappointing though as well, you know. But I think Nicky Henderson's clip with the stick said it all. He didn't need to say any more than what he did subsequent to it. You know, it was a perfect example of how the ground was too good for his horse, but you know, his comments afterwards were not helpful when you bring welfare and all of that under the current climate into the equation.
Yeah, he used some pretty powerful words, which just on the horses going on good ground, a lot of people have trotted out again on Twitter and that sort of stuff that in the past, the good old days, lots of horses were winning on good, even good to firm. I think Desert Orchid won on heavy, but he also won on good ground. He won a couple of grade ones. I'm not sure if they were King George's or I know the Gold Cuppy one was in snow, so it wasn't that one. But you know, our trainers, owners, is there anything to say that, look, these jumps horses, they just cannot go on good ground now versus previously? Or
I think connections get more risk averse as the season goes on, or risk, you know, they're prepared not to take the risk. But towards the end of the season, if the ground is a bit borderline, you'll take that chance. But when you're dealing with a horse that maybe is 10, 15, 20 kilos over his optimum racing weight, potentially in his first run of the year, they're a bit heavy. You just don't want to jar them up. If you jar them up early in the year, you won't get them back generally, or you leave a bit of a mark on them. So it's with that in mind. I can definitely see from a horse, well, not horse welfare, but a horse management point of view, why connections would elect to wait onto the ground is suitable for your first run of the year. I think we're a bit spoiled when you look back on how often Istabrak ran. And, you know, you start off in Tipperary in October, Hatton's Grace at Fairy House Christmas, what is now the Dublin Racing Festival, and on to the Champion Hurdle, and then Punchestown, where I made a running from one day in a pacemaker, but for about three hurdles anyway, at least. But you know, that's the changing times, and it's as everyone knows, just become too Cheltenham top heavy, if you like.
It has. It really has. That's probably the main issue. I did ask you on Twitter, there's a really interesting, if you go to Japan, they have a rule where you cannot withdraw a horse on ground. I don't think we'll get that past. I don't think we'll get past a few trainers here. But how does that work over in Japan, Fran? I haven't been there. I mean,
you declare on a Thursday or Friday morning, and you know, the conditions are at the time of declaration. You know what the weather's going to do. If it buckets rain for 24 hours and the ground goes heavy, you're running the Japanese Derby winner on a fast ground horse. He's going to turn up and run. And the thing about the Japanese too, PK, they don't mind being beaten. They want to find out how good their horses are. You know, they went to the Ark and bucket rain day. You know, the three runners in the race had no chance once the ground went heavy. They still ran and took part.
Okay, interesting. Very different way of thinking. But look, we'll see how we go this weekend. Fingers crossed they get a bit of rain. I know that Newbury are crying out for it at the moment. I heard their clerk of the course early week saying, we need rain every day. And I'm like, it's November. They need rain every day. It's crazy. And they're watering on top of that. Let's go back to...
We won't have any problems at Dundalk.
I was about to say, no, absolutely no problems at Dundalk. Let's get a winner in the 6:30. The first of the handicaps. By the way, all the handicaps, extra places. There's 4 places in all the handicaps at Dundalk on Friday evening. So that's my first and last warning on that one. If it's a handicap, it's an extra place race. The 6:30 is the first division of the Apprentice. Sorry, the 6 o'clock, I should say, is the first of the handicaps. It is a 5-furlong sprint. Now, interesting runner here in Michael O'Callaghan's Lacada is the obvious point. Colin Keane on board. There won't be too many Michael O'Callaghan maiden winners rated 62, but that's what the handicapper's given this horse.
Yeah, and it's an interesting one. It was rated 58 on Polytrack debut and winning, admittedly enough, maybe weak enough maiden on that occasion, but travelled really well through the run to beat Haha Gloria in good style. Only won by a head, but travelled really strongly and has only got up £4 in the weights for that. And if you break it down to brass tacks, this could be a handicap lot here. The third home, Greek Flowers, rated 70. And on that occasion, they ran off levels. So look, the winner's gone up £4 Lakota for that. She still could be £8 well in on a basal line through Greek Flower. And look, she makes a lot of sense and she's a big attraction. Stall 11 is a different scenario and stepping into handicap company, but off her rating PK and given her unexposed nature on the poly track, she could be very hard to beat. Will be well found the market, I would imagine. I'm going to go elsewhere. I'm going to go with a low drawn horse. There's a lot of pace in this race. You've no speed limit coming out of stall 15, which will help Lakota work his way into the race. Silver Nemo, number 8, he'll be coming out of stall 2. And I'm hoping that he will give my selection a good lead into the race because Juno Beach, number 6, will be coming out of stall 1. And he's a horse. I backed him a couple of times last year on the all weather and I thought he shaped well, better than the Bay result on a few occasions. And again, his last run at this track, he's been dropped £6 for being beaten 3¾ lengths on his last start at this track. He was drawn in stall 14. He got pushed wide all the way throughout, ended up marooned under the standside rail effectively on his own and was not beaten far to death. You go back to his runs at Down Royal and also at Nace, where he was placed off ratings in the mid to high 60s, running off 50 with a recent run over the trip, stall 1, a lot of pace in the race. He's going to be value here and he could be just off a very workable mark now.
Yeah, Juno Breach. Luke McAteer wrote a winner last week, didn't he? Last Friday night, based down in Jim Bulger's. I wonder, an interesting job up for grabs there. Cool. Luke McAteer and Rory Cleary, I'm sure, and a few others would be thinking, I could do that for you, Jim. No worries. Come on.
Give me a go. Yeah, definitely.
I'll give it a go, Jim.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
6:30, second division of said handicap, this Apprentice handicap, and looking at the potential market here. Again, Luke McAteer to the fore. He's going to ride one of the fancied horses in early strike. Chateau Muzar will also be fancied with Tom Marshall. Big ride for him. Shona Me. Again, another one who probably will be fancied. Jesse Harrington, Nathan Cross combining there. What are you thinking from?
Yeah, early strike is step forward, was off the track for 2 years, ran extremely well on his comeback run, and again just got pipped last time at the track, and he's getting to a point where he should be capable of getting his head in front. Number 4, Musahib, trained by the Shark Hanlon, if he was to run straight and true off the bridle, he would be a big player here, but he hung quite badly left when was fourth here last week, and it was just I was surprised not to see any headgear in him here. If he had headgear, I would be really interested in him. Number 5, Shona May, is also working her way back to something like her best form. Just not sure about 12 furlongs for her in the all weather, but she's definitely getting to a mark where she's capable of winning. And Maura's Gift, number 9, ran really well when well backed here each way, if you like, a couple of last start here when third, to Riccardo Medici. It was also ran well in Killarney. Cheek piece seemed to have sparked her up. She's by Elzam, and she'd be popular enough in the betting PK, but a bit like what the horse you mentioned, Chateau Muzar, could be really on the way back. He's a 4-time winner on this track. He went up to market winning off Marcus 69 when his last victory was at this track And as a consequence of a few indifferent runs, running on the grass, he's been dropping down the ratings. And his recent comeback run, the all-weather, was very good when he was third to Elsie Wells and one or two however, of his rivals here tonight. And with a good run around, he's a hold-up horse, a likely strong gallop in Morris Gift and a couple of potential front runners. Chateau Musard could be the value here.
All right, watch out for Tom Kylie Marshall, who rides Chateau Musard. Was on board when that horse was third last time out, so it's obviously got on well. We'll cover the second division, the handicap, and then we'll go to Japan. Again, obviously, same handicap, or I say the same handicap, same conditions, apprentice jockeys. So we're looking at the likes of Luke McAteer, Dylan Brown, McMonagall. And Dylan seems to have the mount of choice here because he's on board Charles Burns's Wajaha in the 7 o'clock. There won't be many horses who come here winning a Plumpton Cellar, but this horse has won, and what was he, 1-3 when he won that Plumpton Cellar, which was probably a good price. he's on board for Charles Burns. He's the obvious talking point in this race, Fran, but I guess price is everything.
Yeah, price everything. It's going to be interesting how to price up Wajaha. Go back to his run 2-3 starts ago to Corrie behind Charlie Chute. Ran extremely well, kept on well late on, had a very wide trip from a wide draw on that occasion. Charlie Chute has gone on to win since at Galway and is a fast improving horse. Very easy win last time, and he's also ran well in the all-weather in the past, PK, albeit 4 years ago. Visor on, still off the mark, only £1 higher than the Curragh run. He could be very hard to beat here. Dylan Brown, McMonagall is booked to ride. Couple of horses to mention, Lucky Number has been running well, and down the bottom, number 10, Princess Wannabe, you like this, Galileo Filly running off a low mark and stepping up to 1.5. Could see her in a different light. She kept on well last time, admittedly against her own age group, 3-year-olds only, and she could improve quite a bit for the distance and the experience. And number 8, Rockview Roman, whom we put up in the show about 2 weeks ago, was a non-runner after a very good run at Galway, and that was a sign of return to form. He's a dual winner on the track. He's going to be a big player out of stall 3, but I just can't get away from number 1, Wajaha, running off that mark after the good run at Curragh and that recent win at Plumpton. He could be very hard to beat with the visor on.
Yeah, they bought him back as well, didn't they, Charles Byrne, which was eye-catching. So Wajaha, you're right, Princess Wannabe is interesting. Not too many Galileos running off 50 in November handicaps. Related to Lady Wannabe, do you remember her?
Yeah.
She's decent. I think she won a few races for Fozzie Stack as well. That one by Camelot, this one by Galileo. But they didn't expect to be here, I'm sure. right, before we go kick on into the next maiden, the Japan Cup is this weekend. We mentioned it a few times the last few weeks. It's a shame Alpinista is obviously retired now. But Fran, there are a couple of European runners. We have prizes available on the Paddy Power website if you do want to check them out. Is it fair to say not the greatest Japan Cup we've ever seen?
Yeah, it's broken up a little bit as regard locally trained horses. A lot of them are going to Dearie McKinnon, which is run Christmas time at Nakayama Racecourse, and big race in its own right as well. It's worth €3-4 million as well. Look, the Japan Cup as a consequence is probably broken up a little bit. Shireer, a good winner in Dubai, will be popular. He's likely to go off favourite or second favourite. Bombed out in Prince Wales at Ascot, but ran really well in this race last year to be placed as a 3-year-old. He's also won a Japanese Derby last year, and I thought his recent comeback run over 10 furlongs was very good. PK, stepping back up to 1.5, he could be a big player here, but he's been drawn out quite wide, and along with a horse that I was mad about, whom was third in that recent Group 1, the 10-0 show, Danon Beluga, who used to work for the trainer Nori Yukihori. His trainer is based in Japan with, and he's a really, really good target trainer. He's like an Aidan O'Brien type mold. When he travels, they generally win. He's had winners in Hong Kong and horses placed in Dubai. But Danon Beluga as well has been drawn quite wide on this occasion. And stats will tell you the last 3-4 years, a low draw is key to winning the Japan Cup. And as a consequence, I was very keen on my selection initially, but I'm definitely keen on now. Stall number 2, Onesto, second to Luxembourg in the Irish Champions Stakes. Put a line through his arc run where the ground was obviously gone too soft for him. He wasn't beaten too far on that occasion. All the reports are positive. He's training very well since getting over to Tokyo. He's got Christophe Lemaire, multiple champion jockey now in Japan. He probably could have rode 5-6 different horses, locally trained horse in this race. He's back riding for a French trainer, and there's been no winner of the Japan Cup since Alcacid in 2005. Onesto will break the duck here for at a bit of a price. I think he's about 8-1, is he?
Sixes. Good man, Fran.
I got 16s.
I don't care. I just whatever.
Not after timing now.
It's 100% after timing. 6-1 for Ernesto. After time recording. Anyway.
Him and Dan and Beluga, big players. Yeah, the drawn it with standing for Dan and Beluga.
Yeah, Shahriar, whatever we want to pronounce it. It is the 9-4 favorite. Dan and Beluga 11-4, 6-1 Ernesto, and 7-1 and bigger the rest for the Japan Cup. What time would that be? At 4 in the morning?
No, I'm doing it in, I'm over in the studio this weekend. Okay. I'm in studio Saturday and Sunday, and we're doing it live looking Sunday. So it's either 9 o'clock or 8:30. I'm not quite sure the exact time, but in around that time, yeah.
You're gonna be on the show. You can fly over to UK.
Yes, yeah. Yeah,
oh, with
yeah,
the great, yeah. Nick look.
Mm, yeah. Good. Yeah, I'll have to have a navy suit on and
better be on your best behavior, I'm telling you what.
Yeah.
Tell him he needs to work harder. there's a Japan Cup selection for you, Ernesto. And as I said, Paddy Power Prize is available as we record. He's 6-1, a European, potentially European winner of the big race in Japan. Right, we'll go back to Dundalk and then we'll talk about the weekend. We'll have a quick glance at the weekend, but let's go back to Dundalk. 7:30 is a filly's maiden over the mile. This one for 3-year-olds and upwards, and a very, very well-bred filly, evidently so for Geraldine and Colin Keane, is related to one of their classic winners.
It is indeed. Even so, of course, won the Irish Oaks during lockdown 2020, wasn't it? Camelot filly, and yeah, evidently so. On the back of that, got a big jump in her price as a yearling from our initial selling. And look, obviously, Geraldine's had to be patient. Even so, was a late developing filly as well, and she makes her debut here. Coming out of stall 12, you'll have to watch the market. That's the only thing you can do. And the same would apply to Joseph O'Brien. He's got two really well-bred newcomers in the race as well that could be okay if they on breeding at least. And Riviera Charm is one of them. Sailor's Warning coming out of stall 14. And they're both of interest given the form of the stable. Of the experienced ones, number one, Solche ran a cracker here on Polytrack debut, following up some good runs on testing ground in the grass, drawn a wide on that occasion. She got good cover, a good position for Rory Cleary, but maybe with a lower draw and being able to be more positive on the day, maybe would have seen Solche get off the mark. And she sets a decent standard. And echoing number six, if she gets a mile for William McCreary, Billy Lee's back riding here tonight. She could be a player and just wouldn't be sure about the distance for her. For all that, she ran well at the Curragh over 7 furlongs. And Lizzie's filly also has decent bits of form along the way, but stall 16 is not ideal. And PK, I've got sucked back into something I shouldn't.
Oh, it's Salador, no!
Not for back.
Again. No, don't do it.
I've just gone around in circles with this race, and you've the unknown quantities of the newcomers. And look, you'll have to respect the market as regards Geraldine's filly and Joseph Ryan trained two newcomers. But Salador, just thought the run the last day was perfectly fine over 10 furlongs. She'd work hard to get to the lead, done plenty enough in front. I fell through the run and was softened up a bit late on and faded inside the last 50 yards. Just hoping a mile with the benefit of that run will see her bang there. I wouldn't be totally confident in her, but if she's going to win a race, it's a mile around Dundalk unless one of the newcomers is half decent.
You nap her before, or was she just a selection?
I did. Yeah,
she's a very, very loyal man.
Now, she walked out of the ring with her ears pricked in the blinkers, and I was thinking, like, oh, what have I done? But I'm kind of glutton for punishment. Yeah, so there
really?
You go.
Really. Dylan Brown McMonagall, one of three in the race as we record for Joseph O'Brien. The other two newcomers, as you mentioned, nicely bred. I'm keeping an eye on that, evidently so. She's very, very nicely bred, but as Fran rightly said, not a good draw. 8 o'clock, Graham Woods Memorial, 3-year-old handicap, 6-furlong sprint. And this looks tricky and open, but we've got some nice high ratings, up to 88 here. Dandyville will be popular, I would imagine, for Natalia Lupini and Wayne Lorden off the back of a nice win. Hod's Girl's been in brilliant form for Ada McGuinness and Adam Caffrey recently. Kraft Irish, the top weight. Jake Cohn rides, it takes a few pound off. Where are we looking?
Yeah, start with Kraft Irish, winner in the track before, good winner at the Curragh a couple of starts ago. Interesting off back in a poly track for all that he's gone up in the ratings. Hod's Girl, been a revelation since joining Ada McGuinness. Three wins from 5 starts for the stable. Got off £5 for a ready win last time. And Adam Caffrey is back on board and he gets a good tune out of her. There could be more to come from Hod's Girl, the way she's winning, the way she's going through the line, and it definitely would not rule her out. And a couple of interesting ex-UK horses. Number 4, I Have a Secret for the Shark Hanlon, who was very good value, I thought, on Look on Sunday, speaking of which last week he was a good guest. Awesome. Yeah. And spoke a lot of sense as well about people going racing and, you know, getting syndicates and people racing and a bit of a fun factor back into race days. And that's interesting on its all-weather form. Maybe best watch, I have a secret. Number six, Maritime Rules. Caught the eye in Irish debut for Gerard Leary, was a winner for the Hannon team at Chelmsford on the all-weather. He may improve a lot for that initial outing, number six, Maritime Rules. But number nine, Dandyville, ticks a lot of boxes. Up and great here, albeit, but was a ready winner last time from stall 16. Not an easy thing to do at Dundalk over that distance. And he jumped, he travelled, backing up some recent good efforts in defeat. And I think there's a bit more to come from Dandyville. He's still down the bottom of the weights, 8 stone, £13. Kind draw in stall 7. I think he's the one to beat here. But I will be watching Maritime Rules with a view to the future.
Okay, Dandyville to make a back-to-back wins. Before we skip on to the last race, obviously we always have a quick glance at the weekend racing in Ireland, Fran. You're not on RTV this weekend, are you?
No, Dundalk Friday. And I'm in studio Saturday for Gorham Park and Newbury. Yes, yeah.
You mentioned you're flying over to
private jet Saturday morning. Yes.
Oh, sure. No, that's Nick looking for the bill, no doubt. So there is a couple of Irish cards. It's Gorn on Saturday. We were hoping Fasal Vega would be declared. He always say she because of Cuiva. I always say she. He not declared, which is a shame. And then there's the Troy Town on Sunday as well. Troy Town meeting rather at Navan. Now I know this is a tricky card for you, Dundalk, Fran. You have to do extra study. You should more know. Was there anything that we should at least watch out for in the Irish racing, the jumps racing this weekend?
Yeah, look, that 3-year-old Harland Sunday, Willie Munn's an entry there to KO number 19. His bike, Dr. Dino, was a ready winner in France and has only started over 10 furlongs. And from what I'm hearing, he's got a good reputation down in the Mullins camp. Willie on a sportinglife.com stable tour game, a good mention as well. So he's interesting as well. There's the first plug for the Sporting Life today, PK. And in the Tritown Chase, it'll all depend on how soft the ground gets. We've had a lot of rain here the last 24 hours, but I did think the big dog was value for that win at Limerick recently. But going up in a way, it's £8. It can leave you vulnerable to a couple of improvers. And it's probably, you know, the second season novice angle is the way to go. And ain't that a shame? If he jumped last in Limerick, he probably would have won. And he's probably the one I'd like to be with for all that. It's a wide open contest.
He's 11-2 as we record on Thursday before the declarations come through on the Friday. That's ain't that a shame. It's double figure odds for the big dog. Yeah, Takeo, watch out for him if he's declared on Sunday in the JP Silks. Willie Mullins trains. Could he be the grade one juvenile hurdler for the team? Usually out around about this time. They come out and then win it, or maybe even run as a maiden at Leopardstown. Sometimes they do as well. What about the World Cup? You had any winners, Fran?
No, my son is very much into soccer and he told me to back Argentina for him. Well, on my account, obviously.
What a judge.
To win the World Cup. And that's gone well. And he's very excited today by the Portugal and Brazil ball playing. He's mad into that. And Japan winning yesterday, that was a good result. Yeah.
Go on, Japan. Justin, isn't this the son? Is this the same son that owes you £400 for a PlayStation?
He's working it off.
well, with selections like Argentina. Now, that said, Argentina could still go on and win the World Cup as, you know, they did lose. Did they lose their first game before getting to the final?
I think Argentina selection is going as well as a lot of joy antipose for the Mayor's Hall of Cheltenham, really. So the cash outs are not good in either.
Oh dear. Okay, right. No World Cup winners for you then so far. We'll stick to Dodo. We've got one more race to cover. It is probably the most interesting race of the card. It's it's a 2-mile handicap with 22 grand up for grabs. So we've got a load of National Hunt types and a big talking horse from a couple of weekends ago as well in this race. Now, the top rated Kingswear for Dennis Hogan is 96. So that shows you how good a race this is. But here are some of the talking points. One, Willie Mullins has got Gibraltar in the race. He's a very talented animal. Two, Emmett Mullins. Remember that horse that was favoured for the Greatwood and went off 1,000,000 to 1. He's out and he's at Dundalk, 1,000 tiers with Robert Wearty getting the ride. Could go off at any price. Gordon Elliott's got Poseidon in it. Charles Burns is represented with Boom 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 for all the... what's the name of that band? Boom, 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 boom. The Venga Boys. Boom, boom, boom for Charles Burns as well. This is a cracking little contest. What are your thoughts, Fran?
Yeah, proper race. Start with 1,000 tiers. When he got to the second hurling Cork last week after that controversial Greatwood run where he pulled up and never really went the yard, did he? His three flat runs are very good. That second to Busselton was extremely good back at Roscommon in June. And I don't think he'd run at a race in Ballinrobe on his next start. 78, he could be very well handicapped. But having his third run in a week. I know he's pulled up on both occasions, but he's been to England, he's been to Cork, he's obviously unseated there. I could only watch him unless the market really spoke in his favour, but he is a horse with plenty of upside on the flat. Number seven, No Trouble, big eye catcher last time, subject to steward's inquiry afterwards, running a riding inquiry, but I'd be dead against him at 2 miles. I don't think he'd fully see out the trip against more proven stayers. Lunar Power would be more suited number three by stepping back up to 2 miles, but I think he could be vulnerable here. And then you have Grandmaster Flash, whom has a very good record on this track over 2 miles. He could step forward quite a bit for his recent comeback run over a mile and a half, but he is plenty high in the weights. And then you're down to Gibraltar, of course, very good run in English Hussar, which where he found himself well back in a run after a slow start, and he came home quite well on that occasion. Good winner tomorrow, good win at Leopardstown. Interesting angle, PK. Willie Mullins brought two horses to Dundalk last Friday to work, and Gibraltar was one of them. And he seemed to work well in the track from what I could see. I'm not sure what the second horse he was with, but it's definitely, you know, been a plan, if you like, to come here to Dundalk for Gibraltar. The fact brought him up there, had a sight or had a feel at a poly track, and he ran well in the UK on one occasion over 7 furlongs at Chelmsford, seemed to handle a poly track when trained by Michael Bell. I suppose one proviso is he has a tendency to run keen. He'll need a strong gallop just to drop his head. But if he does, Gibraltar could be somewhat of a blot off mark of 83, despite going up a couple of pounds for that success. He's 14 pounds higher than winning at Leopardstown. Cozone, give him a mention as an each way alternative. I do think stepping back up to 2 miles would suit him very well. Chris Hayes is on board, and he's got very good runs in recent weeks, along with Dupe down the bottom, number nine, who'd be interesting stepping up and trip following some good wins as well, especially on the winning on heavy ground at the Curra, trials in the poly track. But wide open race, you can look at it in 5-6 different ways. There's a couple of horses I probably haven't even mentioned, like Adaramus, who will improve for his recent comeback run, and Boom 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 down the bottom. If he gets 2 miles, he could be a player, but Gibraltar is the selection. Cause on the each way alternative, I suppose.
Maybe the other horse working with him was Flame Bear.
It would have given him a pop over a fence or something if he knew it was him. It wasn't a lot of joy anyway. Chestnut white face.
It'd be a lovely holiday for the Willie Mullins horses to go to Dundalk, given that the tales of how deep the Clissutton gallops are, you know, you get lost in them. They go to Dundalk, it's like, this is like running on air.
Like being on a treadmill for them, I'd say. Yeah, just nice and easy, yeah.
Good knowledge. That's good to know. Gibraltar's been up there for a spin, so they may have had their eyes already on this race from...
Yeah, and I wonder, are they working back from the All-Weather Championships? There's a good 2 mile race there on that occasion. A couple of good money qualifiers in the UK through the winter months. Might be a plan, because he's not the most natural at jumpers. He can be keen over hurls, and maybe off at 133, they might wait for a spring handicap hurl with him potentially, or go to Labrador Curl at Christmas, maybe, or excuse me, Dublin Race Festival. So it's an interesting angle. Gibraltar just might have a bit of class off 83.
Yeah, his three runs over hurdles have been on good or quicker, or good to yielding or quicker. So they're probably thinking, right, we're not going to bother with that. Said the way the ground is now in winter, it's perfect for him. But anyway, we'll keep an eye out for Gibraltar. Right, that's the card covered, Fran. Now we just go through the usual, just the easy little nap and Akas and everything else, and the Christmas nap for Aaron. Don't forget him. He's asked for one, so you're going to deliver. Right, best bet on the card and your little Akka first.
Okay, we'll wait for the Christmas nap. I'm not totally strong and want to go all in to get the... I know it's Black Friday tomorrow and we all want to spend a few quid, but we have to be somewhat patient. And for an each way double, we'll go race 3, Juno Beach, who'll be nearly double figure price, I would imagine, and Chateau Musor race 4 with the extra place. I could see him being 5 or 6 to 1 in that contest. That should roll into a nice each way double. And for Knapp, I'll go with Gibraltar race 8. I think he'd be just very hard to beat off mark of 83. He's the potential to keep improving. I think the poly track could suit him very well. And he's Knapp of the evening, and what is quite a hard card. He's the Knapp, but that each way double should be good value. Juno Beach is very interesting.
Probably the most difficult Dundalk card. You definitely spend a lot of time studying it. You were sending me texts at 5:08 this morning, Fran, which I didn't mention at the time, by the way.
What did the text say?
It was about the fact that your Knapp won on Wednesday, having tipped it up on Friday. And I was like, yeah, fair play. Well done, Fran. It's good to know. Now, you're lucky I was in work at the time. But 5-8. I'm putting
will you be out of bed for the Japan Cup on Sunday, or is Sunday lying?
9 a.m. Yeah, I'm on a stag on Friday, but then I'm coming back early because I can't do 2 day stags. It's ridiculous. Whoever organized that stag should be shot. Two day stag. You're nuts.
Are you getting on a plane?
Absolutely not.
No.
I'm going down the N11 all the way from Wicklow to Wexford. It's a monster journey. It'll be a monster journey home, I'll tell you after. No, November golf. Oh, Christ. And then pub.
Sure. The ground will be good the way things are anyway, so it'll be fine.
Crossed, yeah, it'll be flying in those fairways. The rough might be visited more than the fairways. Look, enjoy your busy weekend. She's racing TV studios for the entire weekend.
Yeah, looking forward to it, actually get over there and see the team. And hopefully jumping and racing lives up to its billing over the weekend. But need to get a few quid for Black Friday and hopefully get a few winners on the card.
Do they still have the cross-ons and stuff on Looking Sunday in the table in the middle?
Yeah, they're not real at all, actually.
Could you be the first person to actually eat some of the breakfast that is placed? Are they not real?
No, they are real, yes. They are real.
Okay, try Brad. Brad's challenge. You have to eat one of them mid-show. Sorry, Nick, I'll be with you in a second.
I might eat a bit of chopsticks just with the Japan Cup team just to be... there you go.
I did go away for Japanese. They were very... takoyaki. Cracking stuff. Have you ever had that before?
What is that?
Octopus balls. I know that's probably going to be... people are going to be like, what? But yeah,
is delicious. That's why I asked.
Knows all about it. Listen, Brad, enjoy the weekend. Thanks, Willie, for your thoughts as always. We'll be back next week to look ahead to as we head towards the Christmas period. Christmas parties aplenty. Have a great weekend, Brad.
Thank you.